Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Have the communist vegans at the BBC destroyed your faith in humanity? Are you worried that watching too much football has made you racist? Why not take your mind off of society's ills by getting some culture? The Football Ramble have teamed up with audible.co.uk to bring you an audiobook of your choice for free. Sign up for a free 1 month trial with no obligation to continue and claim your audiobook now by visiting audible.co.uk/footballramble.
Put your dinners down, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and I've got Pete with me.
Luke is dead!
And Jim.
Hello.
But Luke's not here.
He's dead.
Yep. He's not dead.
He's not
might
dead.
Be dead.
Might be dead.
I really hope he
well,
isn't.
It depends when you're listening.
Yeah.
Because this is on the internet and that'll be around forever.
If it's 100 years from now, we're all dead. There's not much of a boast. I'll go first.
Who's dead?
I haven't lived very well.
But what a legacy you've left, though, eh? My goodness, right.
Legacy of legs. I plan on being a serial killer.
Ah! Don't advertise the fact.
It's quite serious drug use will probably get you first.
Yeah, probably. I love drugs, me.
Yeah,
drugs and hugs.
Luke isn't here.
He's not yeah,
that's, that's the bottom line.
Which is the bottom line, which is why this hilarity is ensuing.
But unabated.
But we're going to...
Shall we get back to the show? Luke. No, Luke in my head.
We're going to carry on with the damn show, because the show must go on, with Luke or without Luke. And we're going to use the same format. It's an opening question, okay? Because Rambler...
It's fine, it's the same.
No Rambler is bigger than the Rambler. Bigler.
Started well,
it's all
it?
Falling apart straight away. Good.
No Rambler is bigger than the Ramble.
Right.
Is what I was trying
to
say.
Some Boggle? Is that what you're trying to say?
Which no football this week. It's just going to be this.
Shit. Absolute shit.
Which spin bowler... which player has impressed you the most with his Movember effort, Pete?
Can we go for a manager as well?
Oh, yes, of course.
I would like to go for Big Sam, who has managed to get worse at growing moustaches by age.
In the 70s, he
was good, and now he's just ruined it.
But that was time for the tash. I don't think it's Big Sam, I think it's just people.
Mm.
No, but I think, you know, in the 70s, he would have had longer to cultivate it, wouldn't he? He's only had a month. I mean, that would have been there for years at a time.
Well, that is true.
It's like his moustache is balding.
Yeah,
it's not set.
He's eaten a particularly hot strain of gravy, and it has somehow damaged his follicles on his upper lip.
Oh, it'd be years of abuse.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
I think his tash looks a bit embarrassed now, because it's aware of what it used to be, and it's kind of coming out, going, "Oh, I'm a bit grey. I'm a bit. I'm not what I used to be. I'll just hang around for a bit, and then I'll be off again."
You cannot comb over a tash, famously.
Definitely not, Jim. Who have you gone for?
I'm going to go for Robert Huth. His was absolutely just magnificent.
I can't agree more.
Just like a pole on his face.
It was
sausage.
Like it was made out of metal.
It was British Empire-esque, which was obviously a bad thing. But stylish. They were stylish bastards. Empire.
Very RAF.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I think that's an excellent one. I think it really suited him.
It had style, it had verve, it had vigour, Marcus Speller.
Keep it, is what I would say. Mm. I think... Leighton Baines, honourable mench.
Yeah, Baines was really, Baines-y. Really shaggy. Like, it looked so 70s, Baines's, because his hair's a bit long anyway and he's a little bit indie, isn't
he? That's right.
Baines sort of made me nostalgic for a time where I hadn't even been born.
Yeah.
He looked a little bit too Shoreditch for me, because he is a bit of a fan of indie.
True, his indie blog on the Everton website, isn't he?
Yeah, and I imagine he'd like wear an Everton top in Shoreditch, ironically. Oh, I might be a footballer, but or am I? Oh,
yeah. People say I look like Leighton Baines.
Yeah, it'd be more sort of Shoreditch and hipster if he wrote a blog for the Everton website and just wasn't a footballer. That's just where he had his indie blog. That'd be good.
But I'm not going to go for Baines. Michael Owen, because
it's awful.
No, but it isn't.
It was
though.
Bad until the last week.
It's a proper handlebar test.
It's like someone put some stickle bricks in some oil and just slapped his face three times.
I know what you mean,
that's
Jim.
That's how Beetlejuice appears. Slaver stickle bricks in oil.
It doesn't look as though it's real, but like he's done very well to get that because he's got the bits, the bits that go down the side, which are notoriously hard to grow for a lot of people.
He looks like he's been trimming it with a blindfold on though. It's all over the place.
Are you trying to suggest that he's had some kind of Rooney implant?
I don't know. I think I am. But also though,
maybe some sort of hilarious football banter. They did it to him while he was asleep.
No, but it looks like it's a disguise. It's like Michael Owen's trying to pretend. Or people say I'm boring. I better
village people with stuff.
Yeah, exactly. He's trying to deceive his own hamstrings. Maybe they'll bugger off and bother somebody else for
but
a bit.
It's so out of character for Michael Owen to do something quite funny. But yet he's still the same guy. Jim's got the points. Robert Huth.
Well done.
Definitely.
In memoriam. Luke Mua.
Pete, you've got a little bit of a tash going on today.
I'm trying my best, Marcus.
You're doing very well.
I've literally only got about 4 days left before I've got to shave it all off.
Don't shave it.
No, I am. I'm going to be in the service station Saturday morning. I'm going to be shaving it all off.
Okay.
I'm planning on being out, that's all.
Yeah, or just do it in your house.
No.
Let's go to the Premier League, where Chelsea drew 0-0 with Manchester City. There is a full fixtures list, of course, during the week, but we're still going to talk about the weekend's action. Chelsea drew 0-0 with Man City. It wasn't really what went on the pitch that was the main focus. It was what was going on in the stands with abuse. Rafa Benitez, poor old Rafa Benitez, was getting from the Chelsea fans. Jim.
Yeah, I mean, it was really obviously well orchestrated. There were a lot of fans with those sort of Rafa out things, and they were clearly all from the same sort of template and stuff like that. And, you know, the boos really loud. Benitez claimed he didn't hear it, but obviously that's just, you know, him just trying to move on from it as quickly as possible.
Well, he kind of said, I asked what they were saying, but then I couldn't hear and I wasn't bothered.
Were they saying Benitez? Who knows? But I think the situation is what it is. The Chelsea fans have to accept that. It's already a pretty difficult situation for the club, and the players in particular, to deal with, because they really loved Di Matteo, and it looks like the fans did as well. Clearly the fans did. He won the Champions League and the FA Cup. But that's how it is. He's gone. Benitez is there. You've got to get behind your team. Surely that's awful support.
Well, indeed. I mean, I think that
I know they really, really hate him.
But I heard that apparently when he said I would never manage Chelsea, he didn't actually say that, is what I heard. That was kind of fabricated slightly.
It's just one of those things that it's just this whole weekend has kind of made me want to stop watching Premier League football. The whole weekend from start to finish has just been a depressing kind of what are they going to achieve by doing that? And it's not about, it just wasn't about Di Matteo and respect towards him. It was just, you know, they've just been.
But well, I think it's the Chelsea supporters trust, possibly they're called. I think I might have their name wrong there, but there's a Chelsea supporters group who
I think that's a banner. Trust the Chelsea supporters,
right? they're saying that Benitez should apologise for supposedly saying that he'd never managed
for taking
Chelsea
a job,
for saying things before about their flags and stuff. It's just Benitez, you know, when he was attempting mind games at Liverpool, which he was famously really bad at.
Yeah.
But asking for an apology is so. It's just
it's like Neuer at Bayern, isn't it? It's so kind of like you're not allowed to do these things
But it is, yeah, exactly. It is a bit silly. I mean, when Mark Hughes went to play there, well, you should apologise for the times when you played against us for Manchester United or something.
Yes.
You know, or anybody you could target that as. I don't know why I chose Hughes, but Benitez, like, you can't. If you're going to have a go at the establishment at Chelsea. Have a go at the people who wrongly accused Clattenburg of doing something he didn't do, and have a go at the people who are the reason for this managerial merry-go-round as it appears it is at Chelsea.
This very successful managerial menu.
Yeah, exactly. Have a go. Don't have a go at a guy who's unemployed and is offered a pretty good job and takes it just for 6 months.
They're more than within their rights. That, you know, they're paying public and the brain public at times as well. And you know, they're more than allowed to have a go. But it's just one of those things that is this really helping anyone? Is it really helping anyone? And you know, especially. I don't know, it's just not been a good week for football.
It's not been a good week for football. It's not been a good week for footballers either, because Manchester City's Cola Torre has been a bit of a naughty boy.
He's been an idiot. Let's
What's happened, Jim? What's happened?
What's happened is Cola Torre has been telling a student, allegedly, this is all alleged, he claims to never have met the girl, but he was telling a student that he was a car salesman,
allegedly.
Who also did charity work in Africa, allegedly, and was allegedly just having an affair with this girl for two alleged years. And do you remember Marlon Harewood?
With his alleged penis.
Marlon Harewood allegedly also did this alleged thing where he told a girl that he was an estate agent or like an interior designer.
Marlon Harewood and
like
Cola Torre are very allegedly people.
But this girl worked it out because she saw him score a goal on telly.
Oh, was that the reason?
Cola Torre had no such problem until one of their mates went, you know, that's Cola Torre.
Yeah.
It's more the money shot is, excuse this turn of phrase, but the money shot is him peering from behind a shower curtain.
Yeah, that's one of the photos she's
like,
released.
In a sort of like, well, if I can only see half the camera,
the camera can't see me, really. Well, that was one of the things she said, that he wouldn't let her take photos of him and stuff like that. All these little weird things that apparently made sense.
Don't look at me.
Why would you do that? You're going to get caught. How seems long like can you keep
of,
it going
A lot
for?
Of effort. Seems like a lot of effort. It really does.
If there's girls
that'll, you know, whether they don't care what kind of marital situation you're in, really.
I mean, some people can blag being famous. You can't blag not being famous. That's not what fame is.
Yeah, that's true. If indeed this all did happen, Jim.
Well, allegedly it might have.
Well, let's move on swiftly.
What else we allege?
Yeah.
Let's make one up.
Rafa Benitez
exists.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all really for Chelsea, Manchester City. We've talked about Benitez. We've talked about
Corrigori.
The game was awful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's not great. But Chelsea did keep a clean sheet. There you are, Benitez. Not too bad at all, is it?
Well, you know, against the champions.
Let's talk through the appointment because we've spoken about the reaction to it rather than the actual.
Is this just really Abramovich a last ditch effort to try and get the best out of Torres?
Well, he sort of said, Benitez has come in and sort of said that he needs to start not working harder, but he seems to like have a different training regime, like fitness and stuff like that.
Right.
He said that he's lost a yard of pace, and it's not about him being.
Has.
Yeah, obviously he has, but like it's not about him being older, it's not about his injuries. He's basically just saying that he's not trying, which seems weird because he seems to be employed on this ticket of how much Abramovich doesn't want to be seen as somebody who wastes a load of money.
But they showed that on Match of the Day, didn't they? That Torres just didn't look interested.
Well, it showed, you know, he's had fits and starts this season. It looked right. It's like, all right, Torres might be back. This could be now Drogba's gone. He's the main man. There was all this talk of this perhaps happening, and it's just sort of fizzled out again.
But it's one of those ones where Di Matteo seemed to be sacrificed because he dropped him for the Juve match, and it was only because Buffon saved like a couple of really, really good chances that they went out for me. If they'd gone 2-0 up in the first few minutes and stuff, they would have been flying effectively.
They didn't though, did they?
They
were roundly beaten.
But Torres needed to be dropped after the time he's been having in the Premier League for me.
But it does seem so strange with Abramovich and this kind of Torres obsession by the looks of it. You know, he brought in Shevchenko against perhaps the manager's wishes, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. That kind of didn't work out. And that certainly looked like an Abramovich signing. Torres, for all intents and purposes, again was similar. But this time he seems to think, no, this is going to work. Otherwise, I'm going to look stupid.
Well, pretty much every signing in the summer has been in a similar situation. Di Matteo has just been given players rather than going out and having got them himself. But it's the Torres thing is it does strike as almost Abramovich wanting to have a human toy, and I think the comparison to Shevchenko is a good one in that sense. He wants his talisman, and he almost wants credit for that talisman.
That's right. Yeah, indeed. I mean, Benitez is going to be in the job 6 months and then probably say goodbye to him.
Do you think
we look forward to the next one?
I mean, things are so dire in Europe for Chelsea at the moment. They have to beat Nordjylland and then hope that Juventus beat Shakhtar
in Ukraine.
Do you think this is...
I mean, that's a possibility.
Benitez's European kind of pedigree is part of Abramovich's thinking. He's hoping he can dig them out of a hole.
But that's one match
with a misfiring striker.
That's a match Chelsea should win and probably will win.
But even
if they had an interim manager, they'd probably win that game. It's all about Juventus trying to beat Shakhtar.
As good as Juventus are, Shakhtar are formidable at home.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, I don't know, we'll have to wait and see there. But, yeah, I do feel a bit sorry for Benitez. But I think Chelsea could have done a lot worse, actually.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at who's available...
Yeah.
I mean, I think some fans would genuinely have been... Well, most fans would genuinely have been happier with Redknapp for the rest of the season.
Mm. Well,
but
I can't, there's no way Redknapp would go to Chelsea. Like, Abramovich would want him there. Because think about it, right? He doesn't like the manager talking and giving away too much to the press.
Maybe, yeah, maybe.
Speak to the chairman. Oh, right, yeah. That's out the window, isn't it? Bloody, and it is out the window, literally.
No, but this time, when Harry says, you know, oh, the chairman deals with all that, you know, it's actually true.
Well, we mentioned Redknapp. He's gone to QPR, as we all expected.
Mm.
And it's funny, isn't it? For all Redknapp's faults and spouting off in the press and all the rest of it, you can't help but think QPR might just be safe now.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, you know? Southampton fans thought that as well.
They did.
So I wonder if even Redknapp can save them the way they're playing. I mean, the players, as we've said before on the show repeatedly, that they should be better than this position, but increasingly it seems like, well, actually, are they? I mean, you look at Tarapt, you know, is there Talisman? He's got, like, what, 2-3 goals last season, if that? Is he actually that good? Is he just the ultimate flash player?
Well, he's not, you know, he's not an out-and-out striker, and I think there's other footballers that, I mean, we got out for 3 or 4 months with a hip injury and stuff.
Yeah, they've got a few injuries. I mean, they just don't know what they're doing. And actually, Redknapp, we've said before, time and time again, and it's been well documented, he's a very simple manager. People enjoy playing for him. He'll say to, I think I've said it before, he'll say to the fullback, don't let the winger go past you and win every header against him.
Yeah.
Do that. Right, next. You do your job. You know, and that's what they need. I mean, it really is. And he said that in the press. You know, he said, didn't he say something like, he wants the players who are going to run around a lot?
Yeah.
I mean, it really is as simple
as that. But although, weirdly, he's linking himself with David Beckham, which is David currently doing.
It's like Redknapp's never been away. He's tapping up players in the press, you know, he's giving simple instructions, you know.
Allegedly. I think part of the problem Hughes had was he didn't know who his team was.
No.
He didn't know his first team. And Redknapp will obviously judge that afresh from training.
But was that a case of players were being signed?
Yeah.
When Hughes didn't know, and Hughes had
it
that.
He was having footballers thrown at him all summer.
And Hughes had that to an extent at Manchester City. Obviously, a different scenario because they were much
better,
more talented players. But
not
Hughes,
32-year-old plodder. Whose best days are behind them.
Hughes was clearly struggling, and Redknapp did say that. You know, he said that, I know Mark lost his job, but it's down to the players, and they need to start performing, and they're man enough to know they're to blame for the position that we are in.
Well, feel free to take charge against Manchester United, though, Harry. You know, you'd sign the papers. Yeah, well, recall for Spurs, I think he took charge straight away when he just got signed. Like when he just signed the papers.
Is that right?
Yeah, he got right in the dugout.
Well, you know, he's semi-retired.
He is.
He's probably going to sit a couple of games out here and there.
He didn't he turn on the Bournemouth Christmas lights or something?
Did he really?
Didn't he turn down the Ukraine job?
supposedly
that was going to happen, wasn't it?
Well, he was adamant it was.
Yeah, that's a long ferry from where he lives, isn't it?
He was genuinely saying it's only a 2.5-hour flight, so I could spend a couple of days at home in the week and go out there a couple of days a week and at the weekends.
But what the hell? That is unworkable.
Get your Philip Salo and then go. Well,
you're recording Archway. I live in Bow. Even that takes it out of me. There's no way I could do that.
If you're unfamiliar with London, look on the tube map. I think. You remember Jürgen Klinsmann managed Germany from his coastal house in California. You know,
didn't go like down
training
well, did
over
it?
Skype.
Yeah, well, they got the semi-final of the World Cup. Although I think
it wasn't a popular move.
Well, true. But I think, as it would appear, Yogi Love was probably the brains behind that operation.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have loved to have seen Redknapp in charge of Ukraine.
It would have been amazing, wouldn't it?
But the reason, but
completely out of his comfort zone, can't sign players, it's cold, it's scary.
Fair play to him if he'd have done it, you know.
He didn't do it, Marcus. he used it as leverage to get the job that is like really close to him, closer than Spurs was.
That's probably the stupidest thing I've ever said on the podcast. And believe me, there's been a few, but. There's no way someone like Redknapp. In fact, a lot of English managers are all about G-ing the players up. You know, not so much the tactics, more about the man management. They are what's the word? They use their enthusiasm and encouragement to try and get the players going.
Mm.
And in a relegation battle, that might, you know.
But I think one of the reasons why English managers don't go abroad. I mean, we've talked about the players not going abroad, is because. you know, that's what they're all about. They're not tacticians like, the say, a lot of the Italian managers. And so if you can't talk another language and you can't grab that player and have an arm around the shoulder and all the rest of it, it's not going to work.
No. Well, I don't know, though. I mean, to be honest, if you are an Englishman going abroad, rather than learning the language, you can just do the accent, as we know.
More on that later. We'll talk about more on that later. All right? Letting them behind the curtain, as if they haven't heard. Well, it will be very interesting to see what Redknapp can do at Queen's Park Rangers. Mm. And other London clubs that were in action on the weekend were Spurs and West Ham. Jermaine Defoe got the game off to a wonderful start with a superb goal. Off. Absolutely fantastic. He's looking good. Yeah, Andy Carroll.
Got his first goal for West Ham. He's really good at that looping header.
He is.
That seems to stick in the air for ages and then come back down slowly.
Yeah. But unfortunately, the game will probably be remembered for the terrible chance coming out of the West Ham end, which is just...
Yeah, just like, in 2012, it's just unforgivable. They've already banned one fan who's a season ticket holder and they're looking into just
he was so loud that
banning,
one fan wasn't he
that one guy oh. Yeah, they're looking into banning orders for as many people as they can, which I think is good that they've acted so swiftly. They have to do something about that. It's rearing its head time and time again, isn't it, this season?
Well, last week you had bloody Sunderland player doing monkey what would you call it
like
monkey
gestures.
Acts, monkey gestures. Yeah. It's just like, have we gone a bit mad in 2012? Yeah, 2012.
Sebastian Besson got racist tweets as well, didn't he, after the Norwich Everton game? It's absolutely ludicrous. I mean, we've criticised Spain and places like and Russia so many times in the past for this sort of thing. And it's been this season and last season. It's reared its head again in England. It's really, really worrying.
But it makes you lose faith in the English public, doesn't it? Because you think to yourself, we haven't had that for a little while up until the last couple of years. Yes, there's been the odd one or two, which of course is disgraceful, nobody wants to see. But it's not been... nearly as well documented and as obvious as it has been in this season and the previous season, and you think, you know, we're progressing, and then suddenly, as you say, it's almost like, whey, we're back out again. Yeah. You know,
racism's
like,
back.
Hang on a minute. Yeah.
It's one of those
hell.
Ones if a generation above us didn't do it and we just did it, it would be one of those ones where you get a clip around the head. But it's one of those ones where this hasn't started in 2012, so it's not something that the older kind of generation at football ground will go, what the fuck are you doing, basically? So it's a weird sort of like, it's a strange situation, I think.
Mm. And it worries me that there are obviously a lot of kids going to these games. They're going to see that as an acceptable thing for an adult to do, and that's what I find absolutely ludicrous about it. It's this sort of, obviously, the anti-Semitic chants are designed to offend and wind up the Spurs fans as much as possible, crossing every line imaginable, and that is just absolute classic sort of school bully behaviour. You know, in an adult world, you absolutely cannot behave like that, and you know, you deserve to lose the privileges of going to the football if you can't behave like a decent human being when you do so.
How much do you think there's the high profile cases of footballers who have been banned and fined for racism? John Terry, Luis Suarez, of course, big examples. Do you think that when the racism issue is in the papers, have people become a little bit desensitised to it?
Well, I think it's partially that, and also I wonder, has it brought some of the sort of tribalism back into it? Because the way that the sort of Liverpool kind of certain aspects of Liverpool and Chelsea supporters banded around Suarez and Terry and were very protective and defensive about it all. I wonder if, as I say, the tribalism aspect has come back into it. And again, from that end, they're also desensitised to it.
Well, indeed. I mean, Suarez pleaded his innocence and the club, as you say, backed him. The same with Terry. And it went on for so long that even when... they were fined and had to. They were punished. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there going, well, but did they actually do it? Was it actually wrong? And there's all these kind of things.
It was all sort of like an opinion. Did he dive? Did he not dive? Was he racist? Yeah. Was he not racist? So it kind of like it's kind of like a badge. Like it kind of reduces how horrific racism is into this kind of like, oh, you have got 99% in FIFA for racism. Or you have got, you know. So it kind of like it doesn't make it out to be such a big thing at the end of the day, when of course it is absolutely horrific.
There's also a kind of misunderstanding of freedom of speech at play as well, more so with the internet and things like that. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's abuse, isn't it? It's harassment. It's not a freedom of speech issue in most cases, particularly with Twitter. You know, if you're harassing
it's the same
as sending someone sort of, you know, awful letters.
Well, it's like, it's, you know, it's the 2012 version of pushing dog shit through an Asian business owner's letterbox.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing different. So you're causing distress based on the colour of the skin or, you know, whatever. It's abuse. And people are sort of going, I can't believe people are getting arrested for this. This is exactly what they should be getting arrested for. Yeah. You think you can sort of hide behind stuff.
It's harassment.
Yeah. And it makes it kind of difficult because the internet is so... unpoliced and it is so free and stuff. But you know, I don't have a problem with people retweeting racist and racist stuff, because then they'll get in trouble, and their privileges will be revoked. They'll be put they'll have community service orders and all kinds of public order offences on their name, and it just encourages people around them not to do the same thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I mean, we talk about this a lot longer, but let's take it back to the football. And West Brom with another good win, 4-2 away Sunderland. They're just 4 points behind the leaders, Manchester United. Yeah. Now that's something to be happy about.
It's brilliant, isn't
West
it?
West Brom, yeah. Right up there in the Champions League spots after 13 games or whatever it is.
It just, as we were saying the other week, they're playing such a sort of cohesive unit without any fear, and I think the complete lack of expectation is,
yeah,
there's just a freedom about them.
Steve Clarke's having a great time. Did he not say that? Was it the other week he said, oh, maybe the fans can begin to dream now. I was like, hey, go on. That's it.
I can't imagine Steve Clarke saying anything anything other than his dour tone.
He smiled as he said it, Jim.
Wow.
You see? And that smile is something that we have to hold on to at these dark moments.
We won't be seeing it much.
I see West Brom as being like the Newcastle this season, and I just sort of think, I just want them to do something this season because I know how hard it is.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Indeed. Wigan 3-2 against Reading, a perfect hat trick for Gomez.
Yeah, lovely.
What about the diving header, Jim?
Oh, it was the ball from Bozizure. Yeah, perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
It's one of those balls that's put in, and you think if it doesn't result in a goal, the guy putting the ball in should be right pissed off.
Yeah, he should get half a goal.
Exactly.
or he should get an assist on his stats anyway, because it's so perfect.
I'm in complete agreement.
Yeah. Did you see? Good to see Bassong on the score sheet. I know that's really not his position against Everton for Norwich. Norwich's record without Bassong is like it's really telling. Like,
is that right?
He's a brilliant defender. I've never understood why he's not put up as being this amazing player.
He
clearly is.
Yeah.
Norwich have really found their feet. Under Houghton, they're really, that's a great point to get at Goodison.
Especially in the fourth. I know Everton have like dropped a few points lately, but still, they were looking good.
Goodison's always a difficult place to go, no matter what season it is. You know, a win against Manchester United, a win against Arsenal, point away to Everton. Fun times. Fun times for the men in yellow.
And Delia, of course.
And Delia.
Never
the men and women. Men and women. Right, let's move away from the Premier League, and we're going to go to the SPL, ladies and gentlemen. It's happened again. Now, there is a full fixtures list again this midweek, but we can't ignore the fact that Celtic dropped points at home to Inverness Cali. It reminded me of that glorious headline, Super Cali go ballistic, Celtic are atrocious, if you remember from...
Yeah. But were they atrocious though, Marcus?
Well, they were unlucky, to be fair. I mean, Billy Mackay...
Not as good, is it?
Billy Mackay...
headline.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. He got Terry Butcher's men the 3 points with his goal. Philip Roberts sold two defenders in the build-up to that goal. Magnificent.
They both, as I remember it, they sort of just slid away forever.
Yeah.
And it was quite wet, wasn't it?
And in their final position, played the striker onside.
Yes. Where they rested.
It was possibly the greatest assist
like
in the history of the league. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Incredible mugging.
Yeah, it was absolutely superb. But Celtic, they've only taken 1 point in their last three home matches. I mean, they're still joint top with the game in hand. Neil Lennon, the fans were giving him...
Started booing him a little bit.
He said if they're not happy, then he'll stand down. Which I think...
Well, it sounds like they're not happy, so don't say that.
What I liked about the whole situation was that he actually said, I regret the bust-up that I had with the fans. He gave a little bit back.
He did.
And he said, but if... if I was the manager of Accrington Stanley, I would do exactly the same. Although the way the results are going, I might soon be. Bit rude, middle of the league too, so, you know, come on. And the boss of Accrington Stanley, Liam Richardson, he's 33 years old, he's a coach at Leeds United, and he's in charge at Accrington, and now he's got bloody Lennon on his back. So, I'm going to have your job.
If Neil Lennon managed Accrington Stanley, why would he be arguing with Celtic fans?
Good point. Yeah,
it's an excellent point. Clearly, Celtic have put more emphasis on Europe because Rangers aren't in the SPL.
Well, yeah, they maybe perhaps have assumed that they're just going to walk
better
it.
Than they usually are. But, in I mean, Europe.
they're still top with the game in hand.
It's a terrible, terrible loss they suffered against Benfica. It really dents the chances.
Well, I'm not sure actually because they've got a home game that's winnable, and then Benfica need to win away at Barcelona.
Celtic I know the Barcelona result was a special one, but it was kind of an anomaly as well. They're quite blunt in Europe, Celtic. You know, they do seem to. panic a little bit.
They lost 2-1 at the
I know, but that's, I'm just saying they're fairly blunt, aren't they? You know, they nick goals, even against sort of, you know, sides that are closer to them than
Barcelona. I think Celtic will progress.
Well, I worry for them. Yeah. And I wonder if they do go out of Europe, obviously they went... they're going into the Europa League, weren't they? Potentially. Well,
potentially, yeah. If they go out of Europe, they've got a domestic trouble to look forward to.
Well, if they go out of Europe, that's what I mean. They're just going to power away, I would think. True.
Or have they? Because Craig Brown's Aberdeen went to Hibs and won 1-0, and they march into second place. They're on the same points as Hibs with 24. I mean, Craig Brown?
Could you imagine that?
Could he be hanging a big medal round his neck from the end of the season?
Big neck. A little medal round his big neck.
Archie, put this round my neck. Could be what we hear.
My neck's too big, Archie.
And St Johnson, they're fourth on 23 points. They're only a couple behind Celtic. I mean...
Lovely old job.
No wonder the fans are getting annoyed. Hearts drew 0-0. They're down in ninth, but only 7 points off the top. I mean, this is Scotland, remember. It is absolutely ridiculous.
And barely anyone was racist in the SPL. So hooray.
Well done.
Well done.
They were having a go
well
at Ginger
Wineman.
Well done,
humanity.
Mm. Exactly. Please don't leave us, Scotland. Please don't leave us. Yeah,
we need your teachings.
Indeed, indeed. Right, let's go to the Scotland of the South, or La Liga, as it's called.
The League.
The League.
Rubbish.
It is. It really is. Real Betis against Real Madrid. It ended 1-0 to Real Betis.
Yeah.
And
Madrid have fucked it, haven't they?
Is it Adrio Adri, the Betis keeper? He was bloody brilliant.
He was, wasn't he?
He was fantastic.
And Benyat with a lovely goal as well, to win it for Betis. Mourinho, I mean, it's a funny one with him, because he just, every time in the league after a game, he makes noises that he's not having a good time, and it's almost like, if you sack me, I don't really care. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was moaning. He said he was talking about how his team had to play in quick succession a couple of games, and
We don't have this kind of squad, do we?
Yeah, exactly.
We don't have any sort of squad.
I need a bit more money, he said. We talked about these players are professional, and you have to take into account mental toughness, ambition and spirit. A player of 23, 24 should be able to play two games in 4 days. As always, because I speak out and I'm the only one who has spoken out, I'll be the bad guy. And he says, when we win, we all win, but when we lose, the coach loses. Why is it always my fault? And he said, La Liga race is still open, but we're neither optimistic nor pessimistic. I can't focus on a single competition. I mean, it's very strange for a man.
I'm practically league drunk.
Do you think Jose is looking at Pep Guardiola just swanning about New York, having a lovely time, thinking, oh, I want me some of that.
Yeah,
I want a break.
To be fair, Mourinho,
that job,
it's been all go for him.
That's the job there is in football.
Yeah,
I want to do a knee slide up, I don't know, Sunset Boulevard or something. It'd be lovely this time of year.
But I mean,
because you're right, it just seems like he's not that bothered.
Yeah, it
like,
really
he
does.
He just sort his doesn't care if they win the league or not, which they almost certainly won't.
But his body language is often that he doesn't care. But then you look at the game against Manchester City when he's knee sliding on the pitch.
It's different. He loves it.
True, but I think he does care deep down. But I think, does he give the impression of, well, this might not actually end as well as it did at Porto and at Inter? Chelsea, he departed from the club during the season. It was only a month or two, whatever it was. So that's slightly different. But he ended Inter.
The difference is he made Chelsea what they are.
Yeah, exactly.
So he still achieved so much there.
He walked away from Porto, Champions League, thanks very much, I've done all, you're completed.
Yeah,
exactly. Same with Inter.
He moves teams up a level, you know,
exactly.
That's generally the Mourinho effect.
I mean, what I've built with Ford, Benitez, knock it down for me.
But at Madrid, it seems to be it's not quite happening. Now, he did win the league, you know, you can't argue against
disregarded.
That. But he clearly wants the Champions League, and that's why they got him in there.
Well, they all want the Champions League, don't they? Everybody at that club is obsessed with it.
But is
and
he,
it's, you know, it's seen as his thing.
But
so.
is he giving the impression that it's a case of, oh, I really want this, but actually I'll just sort of say I don't really want it because actually this might not end well for me.
Yeah, well, you back Mourinho to win the Champions League at any top level club because he's done so well before.
And
so for him, I don't think
Christ on a bite. I mean,
I don't think his reputation would suffer if he leaves Madrid. Everyone can see what a circus the place is.
Sure,
but would he go back to Chelsea?
Would Abramovich have him back though?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Because come the summer,
But Abramovich wants Barcelona, doesn't he? In West London. Look at the players he signed. Tricky technical little players like Hazard, Juan Mata, even Marco Marin is supposed to be that.
Yeah.
De Bruyne as well. Even though he's sort of out on loan, just all of these players, they are exactly that sort of mold. And he's trying to get Guardiola as well. He wants Barcelona.
He wants Barcona.
I don't think he'd go back to Mourinho.
Pep's
got to
go somewhere. I mean, would he not? Is it not kind of quite a good fit for him? The resources?
I don't know.
Well, Celtic.
No, they ain't talking. There you go. Inverness Cali. he would trample over Butcher's regime, I'm sure. But elsewhere in La Liga, Malaga beat Valencia 4-0. Oh, what really, a hammering.
They beat them like a bastard beats a dog.
But I mean, how many chances did they miss?
Absolutely murdered
on perhaps the sandiest pitch you'll ever see. Did you see that?
Mm.
Absolutely. I hate playing on a bloody sandy pitch.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I once played when I flirted the highest level of football I've ever flirted with at Croydon Athletic, and it was like gravelly sandy. It was like a flipping dreadful day at the beach.
I love gravelly sandy.
Oh, it was awful.
She's my girl.
But Malaga are doing very well. Top of their Champions League group, qualified, unbeaten.
Isco is outstanding at the moment as well. 20 years old. He just looks like another one of those, like, just creative, behind the striker players they've got. It's like every top level club in the world could have a Spanish one of those at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
Cthulhu and Mata in the Premier League already.
Yeah.
Don't even start
with Spain.
Yeah, there's just too many. You can't even start with Madrid.
But what about, obviously, there's a big move at the moment, as there always is, but particularly at the moment for independence for Catalonia.
Yeah.
Have you seen what the Catalan side would be? I mean, it's
grotesque.
They'd be the second best team in the world behind Spain. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just unbelievable.
Be interesting. I mean, how would the national team be broken up? I swear they'd have to be broken up, I guess, wouldn't they? But what if they'd already played for Spain? It's an interesting one.
Yugoslavia, former Yugoslavia, Croatia happened then.
But I don't think it's going to happen. So
one of the things I do like about Malaga is that they've got players such as Joaquin and Javier Saviola as well. They've been around for a long time.
Yeah, that's right.
They're getting them clicking, they're getting them to gel. Yeah, of course. Yeah. And Roque Santa Cruz is there as well, scored.
Is he?
In that game.
Of course he is, but yeah. My giddy aunt. Another 4-0 drubbing was Atletico Madrid 4, Sevilla 0. Falcao, with his first goal for a few weeks, scored a penalty. It was his 50th goal for the club.
So he's earned his rest then.
He does, yeah.
He was also bigging up Brazilian Ronaldo in the week, as if we couldn't love him anymore.
50 goals in 63 games for Atleti. He's the fastest player to score 50 goals in the history of the club, and they're still only 3 points behind Barcelona. It really is great to see them. What's interesting about that as well is that
Atletico are a bit of a bogey team for Barcelona sometimes. They've beaten them at the Nou Camp a couple of times in recent years. So, I mean,
it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, they could give them a bit of a push. They could make it interesting. I'm sure Barcelona are going to walk the league game, but let's hope Atletico can keep it up there and that Falcao can still be so dreamy.
Oh, I don't think there's any worry about that. Talking of 4-0s, Barcelona beat Levante 4-0.
Yes, they did. Didn't Messi set some mental record for like being record him. Number of braces in away games or something mad like that.
Something absolutely
he's
incredible.
A one man stat machine. Somebody just follows him around going, oh, that's a lot of coffee you've made a day, Lionel. Yes, I have made the most amount of coffee in the world.
Well, they are getting so convoluted.
Indeed. Did you see when Martin Montoya came on for Dani Alves? After only 14 minutes, Alves picked up an injury. All of the Barcelona players on the pitch, those 11 players, were products of the Barcelona Youth Academy.
La Mafia.
Yeah, which is fantastic. And Xavi commented after the game, he said, Louis van Gaal, obviously former Barcelona coach, said once that his dream was to see 11 Academy players together on the pitch, and today it became a reality.
That is staggering, isn't it? Absolutely staggering.
That's it. What else can you say?
What's interesting about Barcelona as well is that, the transition that Villanova has made from the Guardiola era is so smooth that, it's not really even had any credit for it.
But
that's sort of gone unnoticed.
But that's how that type of club is run. You know, when you have
correctly.
Yeah, exactly. When you just parachute a manager in and he leaves, what do we do? We need someone else in it. And then his philosophy.
Benitez!
Redknapp. And so, but in Barcelona, everyone just shuffles across one.
Yeah.
And because they're all ready, it's a natural progression.
It's a youth academy, football. There's a manager academy as well.
Yeah, it's a bit like saying, oh, you know that senior senior position that you're ready for.
Now's your chance. It's total admin.
Ah, yes! Total admin, ladies and gentlemen. If you remember nothing else from today. Glorious. Right, let's go to Serie A, where Milan beat Juventus 1-0. Yeah,
they're having a bit of a wobble, aren't they? This tends to happen when a team loses a big unbeaten run. They lose a couple of games in quick succession.
Fabulous.
Penalty.
Fabulous 3 points for
the Usain Bolt celebration, didn't he, weirdly?
Oh, yeah, so he did. We got
an hand to it, didn't he, I think, the keeper, as I recall.
Well, is it. When I was watching the game, I remember thinking, I gave Robinho a little bit of stick. And then even the penalty, I thought, oh, he was lucky. but it went in. It went in.
Luxury.
He said in the press recently, Robinho, he's open to a return to Brazil.
Now there's loads of money there again.
Exactly. He said, we never know what will happen tomorrow in football, but I can't say I wouldn't prefer... I wouldn't play for another team, although I made it clear that Santos are the club that I love. I've been sounded out by Grêmio, Atlético Mineiro, and even rival Sao Paulo. Let's see what happens.
So when you say you never know what's going to happen... There are some definite possibilities that you can choose from.
I love it. Galliani, Milan vice president, just said in response to that, Robinho will remain at Milan. it's good to see, because we did worry about Milan, and they're still down in the doldrums a little.
Oh, they are still.
Doldrums. I mean, you know.
Well, they're still way off the pace, aren't they? They need a win like that to rebuild their confidence.
Well, they do, but Inter couldn't capitalise.
No.
On that, they lost 1-0 away.
Juventus have. They've been quite lucky like that.
They have been lucky.
In a way. Other teams keep sort of cocking up.
Well, Napoli haven't. Napoli are 2 points off that first spot because they won 1-0 away at Cagliari. But Inter, they did lose 1-0. They're 4 points behind Inter. There was a great stat from that game, which I quite liked, which I saw on Twitter, at Who Scored, said, Jonathan Biabiani completed more successful dribbles, 8, than any other player has in a game in Europe's top 5 leagues this term.
Well,
again, that takes a lot of time to process in my mind.
He's absolutely rapid. I read somewhere that he can run the 100 metres in just off 10 seconds, like 10.03 or something.
Wow. Didn't I read a day that Leighton Baines has the best
11 seconds,
the most assist, like the most lucrative footballer in Europe from his position or something like that.
I heard something like that as well.
Alex Ferguson wants him now instead of Ashley Cole.
Isn't it something to do with chance creation?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and he gets a lot of assists, a lot of crosses in.
Yeah,
obviously he does, but I didn't realise it was so good. He was so good in Europe. That's the weird thing.
Mm, sign him up. Let's go to Palermo 3, Catania 1. Your man, Fabrizio Micheli, Pete, who scored your favourite goal of the season.
I like Micheli as well.
Yeah.
He's a little bulldog.
Lovely little player. Scored his 100th Serie A goal in style. Mm. Great. Ball came into him, touch, top corner. It was not a problem.
Palermo Catania is one sort of fancy kitted game, isn't it?
It really is.
Glorious.
Yeah, absolutely. What else happened in Italy of late? Well, Lazio in the... Yeah. Oh, yeah, they've been at it again, bastards.
Yeah,
shocking scenes there. As always, I'm afraid we've come to expect that. But it was nice to see Gazza at Lazio, I suppose. Did a lap of honour around the pitch. I didn't realise how much he was
like
loved.
Like the eagle.
easy. he won Lazio banner in honour of Gascoigne Red. Lion-hearted, headstrong, pure talent, real man, still our hero. I didn't realise, he absolutely loved.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved, yeah. So, well done, Gazza.
Well, he was something different, wasn't he? He was just such an exciting player as well, you know. He's loved everywhere where he was there properly.
That's true.
I'm sure, you know, Middlesbrough fans don't have the best memories, but, you know.
That's true. Ligue 1, you say.
Oh.
Let's go there. PSG 4, Troyes 0. Troy. That'll
just do that. Just make a sort of French noise.
Ibrahimovic, 2 assists and 2 goals. He's just
botting it. It's hilarious.
It really is. He said in the press that he'd probably never play in England now, but he'd know he'd score goals there because he can score goals anywhere. It is a bit of a shame, isn't it?
It really is, yeah.
That he never
came. I think part of it is the sort of, you know, the whole, the big game bottler thing stigma that he has here rather than kind of anywhere else.
That seems
to be the case. I think maybe he's done it almost to spite us, personally.
Yeah, I think so. Because
that's the sort of thing he does.
He also said it would be great to have Beckham at PSG. I don't know.
He wants the ball high and in front of his face, basically. And Dennis says, to be fair, David Beckham knows exactly
if he can still do that.
He can pinpoint it. That's the one thing he can do. Just give him the ball and it'll be on his napper. So, you know, get in.
That's a fair point.
That's a fair point.
I mean, Beckham, surely at 37 he can't be going to a big... I mean,
I'd be surprised. I imagine
they won him though,
Australia.
Didn't they make the
No, I think PSG actually came out and said no, no, we're not interested. Although they did tweet that Ashley Cole was coming to join them, and that tweet was deleted quickly.
Tweeted.
Yeah, I mean, Beckham
detweeted.
No, that'll do.
Go on quickly.
They both work. Where's Beckham going to go?
Well, there's talk that it'll do 10 games in Australia, and I can imagine that will happen given that that's such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
I don't know, because
shut up, Marcus.
Surely he's not going to go to QPR for a relegation battle.
I know. At 37, do you really want to go and play for that?
Your leg snapped, by chance. Ibra also said that he wanted Mario Balotelli to join the club.
He did,
as well. Specifically, he actually
just to
said
to spar with.
Well, he actually said at his age, he has the potential to be one of the best strikers in the world. I think he has matured, and I know he would like to play with me again.
Yeah, he would.
It wasn't like I want to play with him. He wants to play with me.
Treat yourself, Mario. Elsewhere in France, Ajaccio drew 1-1 away from home. The reason I want to point out is that Edrin Mutu scored a Panenka penalty.
He did.
Lovely.
Is he still paying off that money?
I don't know, but it was just nice to see his name in amongst the goals.
He looks tired. I know he's getting old.
Then he's almost certainly still paying off that money.
He's
working
now.
9 jobs as well as being a footballer.
He looks completely different. You know, like players, they look pretty much the same. He's changed a lot since he was like 22, when he was like really fresh face and beautiful.
He's a lot's happened, Pete.
A lot of weight
on
his shoulders.
Up with him. Marseille beat Lille 1-0. Joey Barton played his first French league game after serving his 12
here
match.
Here we go.
Barton, he was booked after 22 minutes, but he did play well actually.
They seem to really like him over there.
It is actually quite nice seeing Barton playing there, because he is a decent player, unless sometimes he forgets. He did provide a fantastic pass that resulted in the opposing defender being sent off.
And didn't he know it?
Because he said in the press, while speaking in a French accent, that people forgot about the ball that killed the defender or whatever, got him sent off.
Yeah, we're talking about a foul he made instead.
Yeah, and then he went on in that French accent, speaking English, to say that the French league is boring, and one thing and another. I thought,
Joey,
come on, mate, you've had a good debut.
He's a pantomime bad guy. That's just what we want from Joey Barton, surely.
Do you think?
No, it's nice to have him back, even if he is in a different
country. Highest compliment I can pay him is that he's not boring.
No, absolutely, he's not boring. No, but I think, you know, he's not putting cigars out in people's eyes anymore. I'd much rather he was doing this.
Well done.
Now it's brioche.
Welcome back to society.
Now it's lit brioche.
But I love that he did the exact same thing that Steve McLaren did with the accent when he kept going, as if he was trying to think of the translation.
Yeah, and there was an amazing bit where he said something.
I don't know this, I remember it.
There was an amazing bit where he said something, he just went, who remembers when you finished second in the Olympics? Puh. And it was like the most. It was the. It was that he did it twice.
But it's the kind of like, it's hearing Arsene Wenger when he obviously he's excellent at English, but when he can't think of a word, he goes. He does that in. He doesn't know the language. still don't know it. All that doesn't make you think of words.
I tell you what, you know you've done a bad one when Jim White is having a pop at you. Big Jim White went off auto cue for about 30 seconds. Having a dig. I was, all right, Jim. Bloody hell.
Back in your box till transfer deadline day. You've had your fun.
Oh, dear. But that's not all the good stuff that was coming out of France. Ramon Domenech. Do we remember him? Of course we do. And
how little
we knew of thee. But we're going to know a little bit more, because he's written a book called All Alone.
All Alone.
He's such a
All Alone. Raymond, here, I'm all alone.
Well, it's not going to be like Life and Soul of the Party, is it?
No. Lonely Raymond. like a critical response to being a nothingness.
The audiobook will be read by Joey Barton, of course.
I would have gone for It's a Shame About Ray. I would have gone for that.
Oh, yeah, that could have worked.
Everybody hates Raymond.
A lot of it is concerned with the 2010 World Cup in South Africa. A couple
As
of
he still is.
South Africans have forgotten it. Focus on the horizon. Didn't something happen there?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
sweat or people going, yeah, something. I don't know.
Is that a set? Dancing with bags of money? Oh, no, surely not.
It's hard hats on
here. Why is that cooling tower FIFA brand? What has happened here?
Where are our homes?
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on now.
Dear,
come
dear. On. Sorry. Well, you know, brutal regime FIFA run there. Anyway, a couple of bits and pieces from All Alone.
So good. Alone.
It's perfect. He said, Ribéry doesn't like Gorkov, that's for sure. This is obviously...
I just like the way he said, Ribéry, you're like, that's for sure. Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, I'm dropping knowledge bombs left, right and centre.
I witnessed that. Witnessed the entire incident. Before the Uruguay match in the 2010 World Cup, he said, I told Gorkov, you have the keys to the match, it's down to you. The worst thing was Ribéry's look.
He can't help that, to be fair.
I was just going to say.
He's a funny looking
but
lad.
But then he went on to say that he's the same as Anelka and Henri. Everything revolves around their belly buttons. If you're talking about anatomy, well, it's pretty much centre, isn't it?
I don't know.
When things go wrong, they're the first to jump ship. A senior player warned me about Ribéry in 2008, and me, I gave him the keys to the team.
Always about the keys.
What a moron I am. All alone again, Raymond.
That should be like the subtitle. All alone. That's what a moron I am.
That should be at the end of every paragraph. All alone again.
Yeah. It'll be his, and in the end, I had the last laugh.
Honestly, everything revolves around your belly button, Marcus. Everything.
Oh dear. Well, let's move away from Europe into the international arena.
Before we go there, can we mention Luis Adriano's disgusting
For Shakhtar.
Oh, yeah.
In the Champions League.
Go on. It was a drop ball, was it? And in the spirit of fair play, the opposing team knocks it back to the Shakhtar, not the Shakhtar keeper, knocks it back to
Nordjylland, I think.
Nordjylland
probably isn't
keeper. And Luis Adriano drops the shoulder, whacks it into the back of the net and celebrates with aplomb. Lovely old job.
Everyone else goes, what? But then it got even worse than that, didn't it? Because there seemed to be some agreement where Nordjylland were going to just walk the ball into the net.
Oh, that was the best
bit. Most of the Shakhtar players went for it, but then the defender was like, no.
He got
the defence just sort of piled in, and they were so offended by it that they'd scored a goal. It's like, you know, when you concede a really boneheaded goal on FIFA, you can just score again immediately because you're so angry.
Yeah.
It's the same sort of thing.
What was great about it was that he took it past a few players, and the Shakhtar defender was coming up to him, and he was like, No! Thumb! Just in with the tackle.
He knew Adrian had a knife or something.
Yeah, exactly.
He actually got a hat trick in that game, didn't he?
I wonder if he kept
the match ball.
terrible play.
Injustice was done.
He got suspended for a game, didn't he?
Did he?
By UEFA?
Probably.
For that?
Yeah. I made that up in my head, but I'm fairly certain it happened.
Yeah, well, it might have done, allegedly. Yeah. There's that word again. International football. This is quite a nice little story. The world's newest footballing nation, South Sudan, participated in their first competitive game. They did lose 1-0, but still, it's a great...
It's early days.
It's very early days. And they were playing in the Central African Senior Challenge Cup, the big one. But they gained their independence 16 months ago. So well done them.
Yeah.
Hopefully they can come to prominence. A team who's been around a bit longer than them on the international front is Brazil. And Mano Menezes has been sacked as Brazil coach. Finally. Put him out of his misery there. A few comments coming out of Brazil, of course. They're not short of an opinion there. Ronaldo wants Pep Guardiola to become the next Brazil manager.
Nobody's ever won it from outside the country. No, sorry, let me start again. Nobody's ever won the World Cup as a foreign manager, have they?
Oh, I'm not sure.
So it would be a big deal, I think.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, that'd be huge in Brazil. I don't think non-Brazilian manager.
I don't think
whoever it was.
I don't think he's going to go there. Andres Sanchez, the director for the Brazil national side, said he was against the sacking of Menezes. A few weeks ago, the Brazil FA chairman Jose Maria Marin was asked whether Menezes was about to be sacked, and he replied, "Oh, don't ask me that. It's not a question for now. Let's enjoy Christmas, a happy, happy time. Then we can discuss the future."
Look over there, Christmas tree. Don't look at what's in my hand. Is that P45? No. No, it does not.
We're
not
Christmas even in, is ages away.
I was going to say, we're still in November. Was anybody else given an opinion? Oh, Romario tweeted.
Hooray.
He said, "Guys, today is a historic day in which Brazil must light fireworks and party."
For it is Christmas.
Wow. He can't get enough of it, can he? "At last, the incompetent Brazil Football Confederation board have done something good for Brazilian football. Regarding Mano, good riddance." Well, I think we picked up on that.
Are Romario and Diego Maradona friends, or do they hate each other?
Because it's not been confirmed either way.
I can imagine it being both.
Yeah. If I remember the Romario documentary from, like, I think it was like 1999, they certainly seem to have very similar lifestyles.
Yeah.
I think
seem really similar people.
But I think there'll be a mutual appreciation. You've got your bit over there, and I've got my bit over there. We're similar characters.
A lot of which I have made up.
That's right. Well, Romario did say that he'd like to see Rai given the job. Of course, younger brother of Socrates. He's had very, very little coaching experience, Rai, since retiring from the game in 1999, so it's a bit of a strange one.
Yeah, but what you're doing there, Marcus, is you're almost properly listening to Romario.
To a madman.
Which is your first mistake.
Okay, fair enough. Big Phil Scolari is obviously a front runner to take the job, and the Santos coach, Maurizio Romanel. So, who knows? Romaglio, sorry. Big Phil, surely.
Well, I don't know. Having been there once before, is that not a bit of a step backwards?
Yeah, but this is. I think they'll want to get someone in quickly for the World Cup.
Yeah. Maybe for that exact reason they'll want someone that
exactly. Big Phil,
memories.
He's done it. A lot of respect for him. Who knows? But the mascot, that is sorted for Brazil.
Oh,
the name.
God.
We were worried about that. Fuleco is the name, and it's the organisers say it conveys a message of environmental awareness.
As it's rapidly deflated after a lot of hoodlums stabbing him in the foot.
What does environmental awareness mean?
Fuleco. Really? That's what it means, baby.
So is that just being outside?
That's going, hey, look at that river while we fill FIFA's coffers with money.
Right, let's get away from all this. And a little message before we go to Pete's game.
Good news, Ramblers. We have a betting partner. And our betting partner, William Hill, are offering to match any sporting bet from £10 to £25 when you, a listener to the Football Ramble, open a new William Hill sports account. Go to thefootballramble.com/William Hill to find out more and claim your free bet now.
Yay, Pete's game is back, and Lukey can't win it this week, so you've got a 33% recurring more chance of winning. No? Yes?
No, because we're not very good.
That's
yeah,
true.
There is that.
That is true.
I don't think it makes any difference.
Okay. Press hands, please, ladies and indeed gentlemen, for Name That Boom. Amos Boone, Singapore
it'll do.
Goalkeeper.
It'll do.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm not running out of them, so don't be emailing. So
you're acting like you are, though.
No, the greatest pleasure is going into my Gmail account, and it is a Gmail account, because that's what it is, and typing in the word warn every week, because that's the only way I can find my list what I made in. So. It's a pleasure. I'm just reminded by Ian Warn every week.
Good, good.
Right. I was born in Fullerton.
Stop. Ricardo Fuller.
No, you gorgeous bastard. I'm currently head coach at Atlanta Silverbacks.
Stop.
Bruce Arena. No, no.
You good, know he's
good
not.
Guess, no,
it's not a good guess.
No, it is a good guess. I'll tell you for why later on. I was elected to the National Soccer Hall of Fame in 2004.
Stop. Alexi Lalas.
No, not a good guess, though. Not
Stop.
A good guess.
Tab Ramos.
No, you're not just naming.
We are doing.
I'm getting involved. I'm having a go.
Because I know your train of thought. Let me get some more clues out first. I was the first person from my country to play in the Bundesliga.
Stop. Landon Donovan.
No.
Stop. Eric Winalda.
Eric Winalda.
Ah, good boy. Good boy.
I scored the first goal ever in Major League Soccer. As a child, I won the state championship, and my dad was the head coach. Eric Winalda.
I don't know if it landed Donovan, did he? Mm. Oh, well, you got it right. Cheers. Great stuff, mate.
Oh, that was a
that's double
tap,
for me this week.
You used that 33% wisely.
Oh, do I have a profile?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a profile. My goodness, we've made it. And this is India's greatest ever player. It's Baichung Bhutia. Come on in, pal.
I mean, not like an illustrious set of players, surely.
No, this is a short and sweet one, let's be honest. But I was looking
terrifically
into this guy.
Important.
We have had, we've been doing the show for 5 years, and we've been having emails from people about this guy for all of that time, to be fair.
But it's a fascinating.
You know, he's obviously someone who means a lot to
yeah,
people.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Football is a growing sport.
And let's be honest, we'll say now he's not played for any of the European giants or.
He played for Bury.
Whoa, you're giving the game away here. That's the big finale, all right?
And then he went to Barry, get him in.
But was it? But we'll explain why. That's so important.
He's bloody Indian.
Well, to be fair, I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's the most famous and most popular footballer to have been produced by India. Known as the first poster boy of Indian football. And let's be honest, you know, that country, you know, they love other sports as well. It's not, football doesn't have a monopoly there.
Absolutely not.
But he's a massive, massive star and in his own country. And to achieve that is incredible in itself, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he was from a very poor family. There were poor farmers struggling to make ends meet. They told the young Bhutia to concentrate on his studies and would try and dissuade him from playing football. And again, not that many role models in the country, especially in the region where he's from, Sikkim, which is... Well, up until recently, didn't even have a big football club.
I mean, you hear that. You hear this about a lot of players, you know, or not necessarily being dissuaded as such, but you know, the idea of them becoming a professional footballer being sort of a kind of crazy dream, and then they make it against all the odds because they're actually quite good. But in India, where you know, I imagine there's, you know, there aren't that many professional teams.
Sorry, son. Did you say cricket? No, no, definitely said football.
Yeah, exactly.
You can. I mean, that's a hell of a journey he's taken from beginnings like that, where even at the start of his career, or the very, you know, inception of him wanting to be a footballer, he came up against opposition.
That's right. I mean, I think it was his uncle or something like that who were like, no, you can do this, you know, and gave him a lot of inspiration. And he loved football so much, and after impressing at an inter-schools tournament, he was given the chance to leave school and become a professional footballer at the age of 16 and started playing professional football against the many odds. And he signed for East Bengal Club, who are one of the big sides in India. He didn't play too many times for them and left 2 years later to join JCT Mills. And it was around this time in 1995 where he got his first call up to the Indian national team, scored on his debut and became India's youngest ever scorer at the age of 19. So turning heads in his homeland, and back at his club, he won the Indian National Football League, was top scorer in the process, Indian Player of the Year. So from a young age, it was kind of like, this guy's standing out, he's a bit different, you know. And a lovely lad as well. Lots of people say that about him. Just you know, poster boy, lovely guy, and all the rest of it. Almost like the sort of David Beckham of India, really.
A bit of the Lineker about him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. The Lineker we used to know.
The one we won't allege anything about.
But he returned to play for East Bengal Club after that and scored the first ever hat-trick in the big local derby between East Bengal Club and Mohun Bagan. And the rivalry between those two sides is absolutely enormous. I mean, the fixture holds the record for the largest sporting attendance for an event in India.
Really?
Yeah, which is quite remarkable. And on that famous day in 97, he was playing for East Bengal Club. 131,000 were at the game.
Wow.
Absolutely phenomenal stuff. And it's fitting that Bhutia scored the first ever hat-trick in the club's the history of the fixture. I think it's only been done once after that.
They've only had that derby twice.
No, sorry, the hat-trick in the derby.
Right.
Sorry. So one of his greatest achievements came 2 years later in 1999 when he became the first Indian player to play professional football in Europe. Now... We can't. It's not Real Madrid. It's not Barcelona. It is Bury in the old second division in English football. But still, it's a great achievement.
Yeah.
But the first one to do it.
But it's one of those ones where it's like, they just don't play enough football in that country. And for its size, it's kind of like, I think they're quite ranked quite high for their population. Mm. But it's just not played quite so much. I mean, they sort of go back and talk about, you know, the caste system, whether that has something to do with it, how it's like, it's seen as being a lower class sport compared to cricket, which is a little bit more revered, so to speak. But it's just, and the weird thing about Indian, the national team is, which I'm sure you'll come on to, because obviously he played for them because he was the best footballer, is that they don't allow dual nationalities. So, like, for example, Michael Schopper couldn't play for them because they wouldn't give him a passport and stuff like that. So it's they don't help the international team when it comes to sporting teams, when it comes to stuff like that.
Most of the big European sides do that. Well, most teams do that.
Yeah.
England certainly.
Well, look, like, you know, most of the decent French sides of the last 20 years have been, like, African nations have given them the players.
So So yeah, absolutely. And he became, in April 2000, the first Asian-born player to score in the English professional game against Chesterfield. And again,
take that, Chesterfield.
Yeah, exactly. And they did, on the chin.
India's huge as well.
I know. Yeah.
It's hard to sort of like, you know, it's just one guy and stuff, but that's bloody huge.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. I mean, he scored a few goals there, not too many. His time was dogged a little bit by injuries, but he's earned his place in the record books.
Absolutely.
For that time in Bury. He returned to India after playing, he played for a few more teams and then went back to East Bengal.
Didn't he actually have some injury trouble while he was here as well?
He did.
That's
right, yeah. So anyway, he eventually found his way back at his beloved East Bengal club, and he went there a couple of times between different clubs. Their rivals as well, Mohun Bagan, went to them. It's quite strange, actually, kind of almost like a bit of a yo-yo between two rival clubs he signed for. But
East Bengal, most players who've played in Italy,
yeah, exactly. But East Bengal club was where he did his best.
He felt at home,
exactly, yeah. And wherever he went, he was loved. He really was, and he scored goals, and he lit up the stadiums and Ostadia. And his international career is very impressive as well. I mean, he's the first player to reach 100 caps for India, amassed a total of 107 international appearances, scored 43 goals for India, which is a record, of course. And he played in the start for India in a number of cup competitions that we in Europe are quite unaware of, the Nehru Cup, LG Cup, the South Asian Football Federation Championship, all these kind of things. But they mean
how
a lot.
How do we get into such cups?
Well, Eurosport, probably. Not by definition, though. But these, you know, those tournaments mean a lot to the people from those countries. You know, I mean, you get people like North Korea playing, you know, Pakistan.
You can only play what is in front of you.
Exactly, exactly. You know, they did qualify for the Asian Cup, but I think they got knocked out in the first round. You know, but you know, he a very important player, and you can't take away those cups and those memories and those great times for those people.
Any success they may go on to have in the future, he'll be like a sort of reference point for that. You know,
but it's one of those people who should be like held up as like our David Beckham, like a statesman who, you know, in future years could bring the World Cup to India or Pakistan or somewhere. Yeah, like, you know,
he'll certainly be one of those.
He'd probably prefer India, you'd imagine, but you know, just
he'll
one
do
of
his
countries.
Bit for the continent. No, you're absolutely right.
Well, didn't he refuse to carry the Olympic torch
in
protest at the occupation of Tibet?
Yes, he did. Yes, he was. Well, you know, he's clearly a political man, I think.
So I mean, he is a sort of but the fact ambassadorial type, but on his own terms.
Yeah, that's. But the fact he was offered the torch,
yeah,
shows you how highly the man is regarded in India. He finished his international playing career with a farewell friendly organised for him against Bayern Munich. India v Bayern Munich. You're glad to be alive, that kind of stuff, isn't it? But his should be a lasting legacy. Towards the end of his career, he started up a football club called United Sikkim, and this side became the first team from that region of India to play in India's top flight. And Bhutia co-owns them and wanted to give the people of his region a team to support, which is fantastic, isn't it? He also started up the...
like David Beckham.
Yeah.
He wants an MLS franchise.
Well, he started up the Baichung Bhutia Football School in 2010, like David Beckham, to train and inspire young footballers as well. And he retired from the game earlier this year. Although, it's funny with some of the interviews you read about him, he sort of says, yeah, I've retired. Oh, but if United Sikkim need me, then I'm always on hand. Do you know what I mean? He's one of those players, as he retired, you know, we could see him again, who knows. The Sikkim government has built a stadium named after him in his honour. He's interesting enough, he's also the president and founder of the Football Players Association of India after seeing the PFA during his time in England. So he's given a lot back to the game.
Well, he really has.
Indeed. And he is worthy of his place in the Demon Das Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
And in he comes.
Hey.
Come on in, my good man. First Indian to enter the Demon Das Hall of Fame. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the show. If you want to get in touch, the email is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble. And the website is thefootballramble.com, where there's all sorts of wonderful blogs and updates and all sorts of get yourself over there.
And also the 15th of December we're having the Football Ramble drinks. If you go onto our Facebook page, there are links to it there, and it's on the forum. There's all kinds of stuff. You need to either email us or put on the Facebook page that you're coming, so we can put you on our guest list.
It's as simple and as unalloyed as that, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye. Get well soon, Luke.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Bye. Get well soon, Luke.
And it's goodbye from me. See you next time, peeps.
Peeps. Honestly. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.